Blind Cool Tech, April 13, 2006.
Blind Cool Tech, we're fun.
Well, I wanted to play with the podcast stuff, okay?
Technology, the world is anybody there. And blindness.
Ah, God, who put that wall there?
Can all come together.
Hey, y'all. How you doing? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. I invite you to join Jake and I, my guide dog, for about the next 40 minutes while we take a nice little walk on a rather warm, gorgeous April afternoon. Let's get off the side of the road. Up. Okay. Stay left. Good boy. We were walking over on the right, but I can't really tell where I'm at over on the right side. But over here on the left, we can trail this edge and make sure we're not in anybody's way. So anyway, yes, please do and follow along with us as we take a walk home. We are recording this afternoon on the church audio mics. I have them actually positioned a little differently this time, and I have them away from the book port or any earphones or anything, hoping that that buzzing we had on a very recent recording is not going to become an issue. I'm hoping that was a wire laying next to the book port or something like that, but we'll find out. Also, I have the mics clipped to my glasses like I did last time, except this time I've got them pointing down and forward, so they should pick up my voice a little bit more clearly. We shall see, though, once again. It is a bit windy. These church audio mics seem to be pretty good on cutting down on the wind noise. In fact, Ray had sent a message to the list asking us about taking a ride in that 66 Beetle convertible. And we're definitely going to do that. And I think these church mics will probably be the ones we use because they seem to be the most tolerant of wind. They have good windscreens, and the windscreens are, well, like I said, I don't know if they're removable or not. I hadn't pulled them hard enough to remove them. And don't want to. Good dog. Good boy. I'll bet it's 80 degrees out today. I wore, no, we're going straight. Good boy. I'm wearing shorts for the first time, at least to work. I've been wearing them on the weekends. It's funny though, it was 2 days ago. It was so cold in the morning, you really needed a jacket. And in the afternoon, it would be, you couldn't wear a jacket, it was too warm. And then, yesterday and today, it was warm enough in the morning to really go in short sleeves, no problem. But, you know, next week it could be freezing again, so you never can tell around here. We just finished up our bowling season on Tuesday night. And I know Don Ball is in the ABBA, American Blind Bowling Association. And our league had been in that for years and years, and we kind of dropped out the last two or three maybe, because nobody really was going to any of the tournaments. But as president of the league here, and I don't know if I will be next season or not, but If I am, I am going to highly recommend that we get back into the ABBA. I think that would be a blast to do a cast from a tournament. And Don, what is your average? I'm thinking mine's in the low 80s. I actually had one up as high as 87. And no, I can do much better than that, but just doesn't happen. So tonight, the secretary of our league, Joanne, who you've met on some of the bowling, is going to go out and pick up the papers, the standing sheets, and come over to the house, stop by and pick up a pizza, and we're going to figure out all the awards. We have a awards banquet next Tuesday night. Good boy, little buddy. And we actually usually go out and do this somewhere, but I've got Mars tonight, so she's just gonna come over to the house. Good doggy. Jake is a good pup. We also had a kind of an interesting Sunday with respect to bowling. A bunch of, wow, these tree branches are really coming down already. I mean, the leaves are hanging low. I'm gonna have to get the old clippers out. Sunday there was the St. Matthew's Lions Club was having their bowling fundraising. Good boy. And that whole bowling alley was packed. I have never seen it that full. 40 lanes in there, and every one of them was taken, and people were all out in the aisles. It was a lot of fun, but it was packed. So after the bowling season is over, we'll our league, any of the members or anyone else that just wants to bowl on occasion, and we get a few more people like that, will come in. Ooh, are we going to get a train? I think we are. We usually will bowl every other week, and that way you don't get too burnt out. Maybe we'll just bowl two games instead of three or four. Oh man, there's some nice fragrance in the air, some kind of flowers. Might be from these trees. There's little ornamental, I don't know if they're dogwoods or what they are, on the side of the road in Frankfurt, between the sidewalk and the street. You can hear that building on the right there. Most of the buildings are right close to the sidewalk here. Well, I guess that wasn't a train. So if any of you ever are in Louisville on a Tuesday evening, invite you to go throw a couple of rounds with us there. It's a lot of fun. We during the NFB convention last year had several of us out at the bowling alley. Didn't get to do a podcast, but we kept intending to. Good doggy. There's a good smell again. Well, you know, here in about a month and a half will be Blind Cool Tech's 100th or 1 year anniversary. June 1st, we posted our first cast. In fact, I remember starting to work on this on May 18th, and it took me till June 1st to figure out how to reliably generate the RSS feeds from scratch and to work out all the little details. I really probably should have gone a different way, and still will end up going a different way, possibly, but There's a lot of things I like about the way we're doing it now. So we may just continue trying to adapt this. And, you know, hopefully we could come up with a custom product that lots of people could use. Good boy, little buddy. That's my buddy. Good doggy. Now, one of the things I also wanted to mention about microphones, well, especially the Church Audio versus the Innovative Specialists, those Innovative Specialist microphones, they are about $300. We chose the rather expensive Audio Technica option for the mics, whereas the Church Audio mics are about $80 or less. So there's quite a bit of difference. And I do believe these things are going to last a while. They're not nearly as convenient to use because they have clips rather than the really ingenious system that the Innovative Specialist mics have, which is kind of a tube of flexible material, kind of like a gooseneck lamp that you can bend and shape. And there's one of those for each mic. And what you do is wrap those around your ears like the the arms of a pair of glasses. And it's a very convenient way to easily put them on and hold them into place. Works out very, very well. Jeff Bishop reports on the Desert Skies podcast that Google has actually enabled a audio link for their visual verification. So, wow. Good work, Google. Good work, Daryl, for bringing it to their attention. I'm sure that had a large, large part to do with their very wise decision to offer an alternative. Now, Jeff reports that there's still a few small areas that haven't got this. If you're interested in all the details, check out the Desert Skies podcast. And one URL to get it that's easy to remember is jeffbishop.net. Jeff is the quite capable guy that does the Desert Skies podcast. And an excellent job he does at that. In fact, I really wish I'd have had time to spend a chance to spend a little more time with Jeff and Daryl while we were at CSUN. We actually happened to be next door neighbors, and we're starting to do a podcast when I kind of got a phone call that I had to go take care of. So that didn't work out, but next year we'll get something going. One of the things I wanted to talk with you all about today is the different types of PDAs that are available to blind people now. Good boy, little buddy. That's a good doggy. PDA, for those of you that don't know, is a personal data assistant. And basically it's a small computer. In some ways you could call your Nokia cell phones with talks a talking PDA. But in general, most of the time a PDA... Well, no, that's not true. I was going to say most of the time a PDA will be running a version of Windows, like Windows CE for Consumer Edition, or Pocket PC 5, which is a later generation of Windows that runs on these handheld devices. And if you haven't seen one of these handheld devices, they're generally have a very large touchscreen on them, and usually will have several other buttons, usually five, sometimes a little more. And one of those is a five position switch with the arrows and the enter in the middle. So you can control many aspects of the user interface with those buttons combined with the touchscreen. And sighted people will use a stylus on the touchscreen. I think one of the most interesting user interfaces I've seen in quite a while is one that a company called Code Factory has put with their screen reader onto these PDAs. Their screen reader is called Mobile Speak Pocket. And I did a podcast about that here a few months back, so I won't belabor the details, but they've essentially taken over the touchscreen and made it speech commands. So you can disable that if a sighted person wants to use the stylus to interact with the system. But this is one kind of PDA that's out there right now. The line between a PDA and a smartphone and even a desktop computer is blurring more and more year by year. So probably in a few years, you know, we'll have utopia, so to speak, where you can have a device that you can carry around like your cell phone that will be powerful and have enough storage that you could actually use it as your main computing device. And, you know, I suspect actually these things will even get smaller than what a cell phone is. Now, of course, the first problem... Good boy, forward. That's it. Good job. With a device that small, this is an input system. You know, you're not going to have a full-size keyboard on a 5-inch long device. Sighted people have been using a stylus with an on-screen keyboard on the touchscreen devices. And some of the newer devices have a little keyboard that can either snap on or expose itself. That's what people call a thumb keyboard, where you have pretty much all the keys, but they're very small. And you have to use your thumbs to type your messages. Well, one thing sighted people don't have that blind people do have is the knowledge of how to type. Hi. Using Braille. So there's some interesting new PDAs of a different class that aren't using commercial hardware with Braille input. And I think the most cool and classic example at the moment is HumanWare's PK. This is a very small device with a Braille keyboard on it. So they, good boy. Good boy. Let's go around this car. That's it, little buddy. Good doggy. So the device takes advantage of the fact that you can fit a Braille keyboard into a smaller space than a QWERTY keyboard, and provides you with those capabilities. Now, this is a device that is actually running on specialized hardware with specialized software. It's like the Braille Note in some ways, because it's customized hardware running a regular commercial operating system and specially written applications. So they're all self-voicing applications. Now, that's opposed to, in a opposition to, say, the Dell Axum 51, which is commercial hardware running commercial applications like Pocket Word and Internet Explorer, and using a screen reader like MobileSpeak Pocket. Now, the thing about those, you know, one of the things you have to consider is the price points. Good boy. Because, for instance, the Dell Axum is about a $350 piece of hardware, and MobileSpeak Pocket is $600. So you're talking almost $1,000 right there. And still, you don't have a great way to type. Now, what most people are doing is buying a Bluetooth-enabled or Bluetooth-ready keyboard, especially these portable ones that fold in half. So that way you have a QWERTY keyboard. There is a company now also making the a Braille Bluetooth keyboard. I believe that thing is just a tad bit on the pricey side, though. I want to say $600, whereas the commercial QWERTY Bluetooth keyboards usually run around about $100. And there are several of them out on the market. These are actually, by the way, a fairly new phenomenon. I know about a year ago we were looking for one very aggressively, and there just was nothing was out yet. In fact, it's about this time frame a year ago when they just started appearing. Now, the other way you can go is with what's called a smartphone device. Now, that would be like the, there's a new HP iPad coming out, 65, I forgot the number. But it's got a cell phone built into it. Now, the problem is here, the hardware is expensive. I'm thinking around $600 or $700, and of course you add your $600 for MobileSpeak Pocket, and you've still though got a device that uses the touchscreen for the telephone dialing. And I tried this out on a iPac 6515, and you know, maybe I didn't give it enough of a chance. I wouldn't want to go through life having to dial that way. That may be possible. Now, the other way, yet another way that blind people are accessing PDAs is kind of the way the Freedom Scientific approach, where they are actually using custom hardware. Good boy. Excuse me. So they have their own note-taking device. and they're using a version of Jaws that runs on... Hey. Good doggy. Using a version of Jaws that actually runs on Windows CE and gives you access to the commercial application. So that's very similar to Mobile Speak Pocket's concept. And in fact, you know, it kind of makes you wonder why Jaws hasn't released a version to run on Mobile Speak. I mean on Pocket PC or WinCE for the commercial hardware. I guess there's still probably a few issues with commands that would need to be worked out like the Mobile Speak folks did. There is, by the way, also Pocket HAL, based on the HAL screen reader from Dolphin in the UK. Pocket HAL, I did get a demo of that over at CSUN, and it looked pretty good. And it's the same concept as Mobile Speak Pocket. It allows you to run commercial software on commercial hardware. And theoretically, of course, this keeps your price down. Your sacrifice is maybe, probably the worst one is the inability to have direct keyboard input. And of course, this is taken care of with the PacMate or the Braille Note or the PK with their custom hardware. But those devices are bigger. And, so you wonder if Jaws will come out with a version like that. And you also wonder what's going to happen with these newer computers you see coming out now. Like the OQO that GW is offering with WindowEyes on it, where it is actually a full-fledged Windows XP machine in the size of something that fits in your pocket. Of course, again with that, when you've got something that small, you've got to have keyboard input some way. The screen actually slides back on this device and gives you a thumb keyboard. And I don't know, it'll be interesting to hear how successful blind people are using that thumb keyboard. Now, each of these manufacturers, Mobile Speak or Code Factory, provides some ways to let you do input on the devices. They're really a little less than satisfactory, though, at least in my limited experience. The folks at Humanware have also taken this concept of using commercial hardware and putting customized applications, self-voicing applications on that hardware. And this does, of course, give you the power of numbers for the hardware. What they've done is actually created a pretty ingenious input system using the touchscreen. And I believe it works something like the following. There's an overlay that you can lay onto the screen that's got holes for your braille. So since you can't actually press three or four or six different spots on the screen at the same time and have it know what you're doing, you individually press the dots for a braille character. Now, who was it that was over at APH that had one of those and was really fond of it? showing it to me. Might have been Guido. I'm not convinced that that's that great a system. You know, is that really any faster than using the telephone method for inputting data? Where you press the 2 key one time for an A, twice for a B, three times for C, blah, blah, blah. Because you think about it, you type an L, you're going to have to hit 1, 2, 3 keys. To do an L on a telephone keypad, it's the same thing. You hit the 5, 3 times. That actually is going to be the most you're ever going to hit one of those keys, though. In the case of Braille, for instance, if you want to type a Q, you'd be hitting 5 keys. So, I don't know how effective that particular method is for input. MobileSpeak Pocket has a couple of ways of doing it. They'll allow you to arrow through a grid of characters, and I've heard that people can get pretty fast at that. The second way they'll do is they'll actually have a keyboard on the screen that you can hold your finger down and slide it around until you hear the letter you want, and then you pick it up. Now, obviously that's not going to be as fast as typing or Braille input. You know, frankly, I would far prefer to be able to type with ASCII than in Braille, but given the fact that a Braille keyboard, you know, your primary Braille keyboard consists of 7 keys, and you can get that down onto a pretty small area, and you can type pretty darn fast on a Braille keyboard. I may have mentioned in this cast before that there actually was some ICAD work done based on Braille, or some ICAD software and hardware combinations. So what it amounted to was that this company came up with a device that you would hold in your left hand that had kind of a pistol grip. Had a key for each finger and one for your thumb, and then you would keep your mouse in your right hand, and if you wanted to label something, you would use a series of corded characters to represent the different keys. So anytime you can press the keys at the same time instead of having to do them individually, you know, you're saving time. Of course, the disadvantage of this was that everybody that used it had to learn a whole new technique for input. And I did hear rumors that the people that designed that based it on the Braille code. So we actually, as blind people, have an advantage in that we already know a coding system that can quickly produce typed input, and that is the Braille keyboard. So the HumanWare PK is probably the first device to really take this concept all the way. Now, of course, you realize the BookPort also allows you to use Braille input to type notes or to search for text in your files, but you know there's 18 keys on that BookPort, and it's just kind of cramped for doing extensive input. It is possible though. Now, talking about the different kinds of PDAs, you really also have to consider these phones, like from Nokia, that run Symbian, and then one of the two screen readers that runs on that, Tox from Nuance.com and MobileSpeak from Code Factory. there are a lot of PDAs out on the market, and we've looked at several of them. There are even some running Linux. Nokia makes a nice PDA. It's pretty much the whole face of it is a touchscreen, and it's running Linux. I cannot remember the precise model of this thing. Very, very nice device, though. Well, that's the wrap-up of the different kinds of personal data assistance and the different approaches that people are taking currently to make them accessible. It's going to be interesting to watch this for the next few years because, like we just mentioned, your desktop, your phone, and your PDA are all melting into one small and powerful device. And on that note, I will tell you good evening and have a great one. You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Is that right, little buddy?
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and our comment line is 206-984-9203.
Hey, Fredsters.